He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, a show of hands, how many people have some sort of electronic device on you right now in the form of a cell phone or something else? Some of you aren't telling me the truth. Connected. How connected are you to your cell phone or your iPad or your computer? There was a time in our lives where you go home from work and literally go home from work. You were off, clocked out, everything was fine. But now you can't because the cell phone is always at hand. And if people have questions, what do? They're going to call you up or they're going to text you or email you. And they want an answer back immediately. In spite of the fact you might be out for supper with your spouse celebrating their birthday or an anniversary. And they want responses right now. People are so connected to our electronic devices. Now, I got a little case study for you to try on the way home today. When you go to stop at a stoplight, I want you to look around and see how many people look like this. At stoplights, no doubt. They stay that way until I lay on my horn and say the word quit texting. People are just connected. Even in worship, it's no longer sacred because, and I didn't realize this happened last service, that someone's cell phone actually went off right before I said what I'm about to say. That cell phones go off with those annoying ringtones, even during divine services, to the embarrassment of those who hold them in hand. And I do not mean to offend. But here's the problem. We seem so disconnected. If only we get really revved up when our internet service fades for a few hours or even a few minutes. We get all upset when things start buffering and we just want to stay connected. But the question is, why? Why is being connected so important to you and me? The reality is that we think we might miss out on something. I found it interesting this morning that my wife and I went on a bike trip yesterday that was devastating the body, and I had to put some pictures on Facebook this morning, and one of our pictures come up and says, I love the pictures you put on Facebook. I know what she'd been doing. She'd been perusing the net. But the question is, do you ever feel that way of being put out by your internet service being down when you are disconnected from Christ? When that connection with him doesn't seem to be as strong as it once was? Do you fret when you miss a Sunday morning service? Do you get upset in the same way that I just don't have dial tone right now for whatever reason? I don't have any bars on my phone. Do you get that upset when it comes to your relationship with our Heavenly Father? Well, our sermon text for this morning from St. John is the words of Christ. Christ tells us the importance of remaining connected to Him. Now in St. John, the 15th chapter, Jesus tells his disciples that he is the vine and they, including we, are the branches. But the question is, when did he say these words? It was on the night that he was betrayed. It was after the Lord's Supper. And Jesus was making his way to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples there to pray and to be arrested. And as they would go that way, many biblical scholars say that they went past the temple gates where they had these huge grapevines and clusters of grapes as big as a man. And with that backdrop, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Talk about a sermon illustration, one of the best I've ever seen. But he says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But what exactly do we need to stay connected to Christ? Because we know without him we can do nothing. We cannot bear fruit. We're like a branch broken off from the tree that has no life in it. Satan would snort and say right now, are you kidding me, Pastor? Challenge your congregation with these words. When you were running out of the house this morning, eating that half-eaten bagel on the kitchen counter because you needed to get to church, you know what your neighbor was doing? He was sitting in his Barca lounger with his cup of coffee in the morning newspaper, maybe not even fully dressed, just with the robe on, and he's just chilling. And your people had to get dressed and get all prettied up to get here. That doesn't sound like life to me. And kids, if you really want to know what your friends are doing right now, there's athletic fields all the way around our community packed with kids playing sports. They're going to start on varsity someday, but you're not. And by the way, they might have had a sleepover last night, and because you're in church, you don't get to go with them. Sorry about that. And you say that being a Christian connected to the vine of Christ gives you life. I dare say that is false. Well, Satan's sadistic kissing needs to be responded to. In one way, I'll let you know, missing church once in a while doesn't necessarily mean you're disconnected from Christ. However, you can stay connected to Christ through the reading of God's Word and through family devotions and the like. But don't let that become a mainstay of your Christian walk with Christ. Stay connected to Him. Gather around His Word. And if you're in God's Word, you know what His Word says, right? Confirmands the fourth commandment is? No, wait. Third commandment is, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does it mean? We fear love God, so we do not despise preaching His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. I was just taking you off the hook on that one. The reality is, we gather to hear God's Word proclaimed because there are times and days in our lives where we need to hear the law in order to confront us in our unrepentant sin. It is not pleasant, it is not kind, but that law always accuses, it's always there as a mirror to show us who we are. And once we've confessed our sins and turned away, then the sweetness of the gospel comes flooding in, washing it away. But worshiping here is more than just hearing God's word of law and gospel. It's also here together as the body of Christ to lift each other up, to encourage one another in our faith walk with Christ, even though at times it feels as if we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And lest I be remiss, for the confirmants, today is the first day you get to receive the Lord's Supper. You finally crossed over to being big kids. And I don't have to put my hand on your shoulder and give you a blessing. I can just give you the Lord's Supper. It is truly a great thing. But God's Word reminds us, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as we see the day approaching. But it's also important to point out that we can inwardly or outwardly be connected to Christ through church attendance and family devotions and all those things, but yet still be disconnected and dead from Him. Let me give you an example. My neighbor recently sold their house, but they have these big pine trees in their yard. They're huge. And when winter snows come, those pine branches are often weak. And what happens is the snow piles up and piles up, and then they'll break off, but they won't fall off the tree. They'll just kind of hang there, nestled in the other branches. No one really notices that they're disconnected. After all, they're still green. But given time and the summer heat as it comes, those now disconnected branches turn brown, a telltale sign of being dead. Jesus said, "My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." This morning is a pretty big day for Lily, for Hunter, and for Peyton. Would you agree? Kind of a big day. Confirmation instruction is now ended, and now you've entered the realm of being young adults and communicant members of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. But in a few moments, you're going to stand before this altar, and I'm going to ask you some questions, right? And here's three of them, and I want you to think about this. Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? One. Do you intend to live according to the Word of God in faith, word, and deed, and remain true to God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, even to death? That's two. And the third one, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Those are the questions. Now, I've been pastor here for 14 years. I've stood right there and asked these questions to, if my count is correct, 47 different young men and women. And I've heard them all give the same answers. The answer is, I do by the grace of God. Every single one of them. And I went in the office this last week. I was making preparations today. I wonder how many are still connected today. So I started making hash marks, connected, disconnected, connected, disconnected. And I found out of the 47, there's only 14 that I see on a semi-regular basis. 14. 14 out of 47 would give you 33%. I don't know about the teachers here, but that's a failing grade. 33%. Pastor's not doing very well because there's kids that are making commitments to Christ, but yet they're no longer here. Now, in their defense, a few of them have transferred elsewhere. Their families have moved or whatever. But the vast majority of them still confess that Emmanuel is their home congregation and still have communicant membership here. Now, for adults, I know what you're thinking. Those stinking kids. They're snot-nosed kids. They make all these promises. They're never going to... They're not serious about this. They should be here. Do you have any idea the percentage of church members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that are adults that know that attend worship on a Sunday morning? 33%. Exactly. And I was thinking about that. I said, like father, like son. Kids don't come, don't see the parents either. 33%. If Christ returned today, are they connected or not? And so I begin to ask, are we connected? Are we branches that are connected to Christ, or are there times when you and I are disconnected? Let me ask you, when you hear the Word of God and the promises that He makes to you, do you heed them, cling to them, or do you scoff at them? See, Satan doesn't want you anywhere near Him. He don't want you to hear about grace, forgiveness, life, and salvation that flows from the side of Christ. He wants you to be completely and utterly disconnected. Now, if the tree branches in my neighbor's pine trees can talk, the ones that have been broken off, they would tell you that there is no life in being disconnected. Literally. Their life is gone. And the reality is that sooner or later, either that branch is going to fall out of the tree into my yard and I'll have to pick it up. Or someone's going to shimmy their way up there, grab it, and take it, and get rid of it, and throw it into the fire. There is no freedom in being disconnected. Likewise, true freedom comes when we stay connected to Christ only through faith in Him and enjoy the benefits of, what? Forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus reminds us that every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. I want you to notice something about the vine dresser. He prunes the vine so that they'll be more productive. He skillfully trims away all that hinders that vine from being as productive as they can to put as many grapes on the vine as possible. Now, it's been a few years ago. My wife and I and some friends were out at a local winery, and the wine dresser at Windcrest is very talented. And apparently, he was telling us a story about out in western Nebraska, there was a vineyard where that wasn't very productive at all. The husband and wife were new to the winemaking business, and they had a lot of questions and concerns, so they invited him to come out to look at their vineyard, to see how things were going, and to give them suggestions that they needed to put fertilizer in the soil, or whatever they needed to do to make it more productive. Well, he went out there and he noticed right as he got out of the car what the problem was. And so he walked up to the husband and wife and said, "No matter what I do, don't stop me. Because I know the business and I know it'll make your vines more productive. So don't, whatever I do not stop me. And don't question my judgment." He took his pruning shears and went over and pruned their vines back, almost completely back to the base. Because they were so overrun, it was producing so many vines that it would never be productive as it should be. The following year, their harvest was much, much, much greater because it had been pruned. The truth is, we all have things in our life that need to be cut away. There are things that we say and do that drag us down. There are sins that are besetting for each and every one of us that don't make us characteristic of what Christ has called us to be as a Christian. And we're certainly not as productive as He would call us to be. I find it interesting that the Greek word that's translated in our translation today as prune literally means to cleanse. It kind of gives you a whole different idea of what baptism represents when the Heavenly Father uses water and word to cleanse us, to wash us away. Is there anybody that does laundry here that would say that blood is not very hard to get out of clothes? I've always been of the impression it's probably the hardest thing to remove from clothes. But God literally uses blood to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us holy and righteous in His sight, that we can be more productive. But what exactly is the fruit that you and I are to produce? That's the thing. I'm not a grape. So what are we supposed to produce? In John 15 it says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." See, God calls us to do stuff at times that's difficult to do. God, do you actually know my neighbor? Because they're difficult to get along with. Or that brother and sister in Christ that is annoying or discouraging, and I just don't want to be around them. Do I really have to be in their presence? Can I love them from a distance? And God says that we're to love one another as He has loved us. For parents, if you want your kids to love one another, don't harangue them. Just bring them to the divine service where they hear God's word proclaimed and ultimately, as you guys say, receive the Lord's Supper. That literally changes everything about us, that gives us hope and life today. Pruning process often hurts in our lives. God a lot of times takes away things we cherish in order to give us something even more. Today as we gather in this place, we understand that being connected to Christ is the difference between life and death. It's not simply acting like it, hanging out in the branches of others that are lifting me up, but it means standing in the presence of Christ, receiving the gifts that Jesus Christ died to give to you and to me. Well, I started this sermon off by talking about how digitally connected we are. And I'm glad to see my confirmands don't have cell phones with them. I'd have to harangue them. But a study showed that of the average teenage kids, they send an average of 111 texts per day. It's much higher for girls, by the way, and the boys kind of brought the average down. But for adults, you know how many hours a week that we spend on social media or on the internet? 20 hours a week online. 20 hours. I would begin to ask the question, I wonder what would happen if you and I spent even a fraction of that time, not on Facebook, but on Faithbook. Time in God's Word and prayer. That was catchy, wasn't it? Peyton, too bad you're not taking sermon notes today. We'd be so much more productive. My encouragement today for you guys to stay connected. And yes, I do want to see your smiling mugs here far into the future. Don't think that this is graduation because I know where you live. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.